Mr. Hunter, what is your or your party's biggest priority in terms of the environment at the moment?
Well, I guess it's the priority of the world, really. It's got to be climate change, doesn't it? And how we factor in climate change right across government and all that government does. So, you know, everything we're doing about the River Murray, about our protected area system, about making Adelaide a carbon neutral city, about our energy plan, in some way it all has to link into our action on climate change. The science is pretty unequivocal. And even farmers will tell you, regardless of the argument about who caused it, that the world's changing, temperatures are changing, times they sow and times that they bring the crops in are all changing, and people want some practical guidance about actually how do we adapt to a changing climate. So climate change has to be the big thing that all governments have to be, all governments that base their policy on science, I suppose, have to be across.
Sure. And so what specific actions are you proposing at the moment in terms of further limiting fossil fuel emissions in South Australia?
Well, that comes to our energy policy, but it's a little bit broader than that. So we know that about a third or just over a third of our emissions come from buildings, and that's a static energy use. We know there's a bit more than a third comes from transport costs, and the rest comes from everything else, essentially. Waste is about 5%, and industry and agriculture make up most of the rest of it. So what we've done is we've embarked on our own energy plan. We've been reducing our emissions in South Australia for quite some time now. I think we've brought our emissions profile down by about 8% on 1990 levels, and at the same time grown our economy by 60%. So we've shown that we can decouple our renewable energy target of net zero by 2050, our target of getting about $10 billion worth of investment in the state in renewables is getting close to completion. I think we're just tipped over $6 billion recently. And we've announced just in the last few weeks several new pilot programs about energy, whether it's the hydrogen plant we're building down at Port Lincoln or the straw-fired power plant on York Peninsula or the biogas and solar thermal plants that we're working on as well. Pumped hydro comes into it, flywheel storage that SA Water is looking at, as well as the innovative project they're using with silicon down at Bolivar to store the energy that's produced. We're looking at really changing the whole system. And if you go back to 2002, I think about 99% of our energy in this state was derived from fossil fuels, and now it's up to 49% is derived from renewable energy. And that'll just become more predominant as our plan takes shape. We're also very excited about the potential for hydrogen, because hydrogen could be the future fuel replacement for gas. And if we can produce hydrogen here cheaply from our renewable resources, that is when there's no demand and solar's pumping through electricity and so is wind, we can turn that into hydrogen, not only utilise it here, but we can also ship it offshore to countries that will be reliant on it because they don't have a lot of renewable resources themselves. It could become a big export industry for South Australia.
Speaking of export industries, one of the things that was mentioned today at the forum from the opposition leader was the connector between South Australia and other states, particularly New South Wales, in order to export renewable energy. Do you also see that as a potential for revenue?
Look, I think it'll be important in time. South Australia could be the solution for the East Coast energy problems. There was a time, of course, when they were laughing at South Australia because we were leading in this area, and now they're looking over their shoulders saying, goodness, how did they get the jump on us? But the interconnector's got to be built for an important purpose, and that is to export energy, not to suck in coal-fired energy into South Australia. You've got to get your priorities right. And to do that, you've got to have your export potential first before you build the interconnector.
Yeah. So moving on now from energy policy to other areas of environmental policy, what is your policy and your attitude towards the idea of oil and gas exploration in the Australian Bight?
Most of that, I think all of it actually, is in Commonwealth waters. So our ability to be active there is minimised somewhat, although we are very active participants in case there's an accident, of course, because we don't want it to wash up on shore. But most of this is regulated by NOPSEMA, federal government agencies, which the states are involved in. We, I think, have a small role, but we think probably we can escalate our voices about this in terms of the environment. When I have meetings with these companies who from time to time come into my office and tell me about their great plans of drilling in the Gulf. I say, well, that's fantastic, in the Bight, I should say, that's fantastic. But what are you going to do in terms of safety in case you have a spill? Mm. And then they go through their routine. And I say, well, you can't wait 9 days to get safety equipment flown in or towed in from Singapore. Why aren't you basing that more locally? And so I think as a state we can actually tighten up our ask on what we require of any company in terms of safety for accidents. Do that, and I think in a lot of areas you need to, if you need as a government to say to business and to the community that we'll base our decision making on the best available science. And if you do that, you can't go too far wrong. If you do that on climate change, you can't go far wrong. If you do it on the River Murray, you can't go too far wrong. And you need to do it also with applications for fossil fuel exploration as well.
Speaking of another potential project, I guess you could call it the low to medium level nuclear waste proposal for several sites in South Australia, which is...
this is a federal government proposal.
The federal government proposal. What is the reaction of your government to that? And would you go to the battleground with the federal government over that sort of proposal?
Well, unfortunately, the federal government's passed legislation that overrides the state. And they even cheekily said that even on state crown land, they could ask proponents to suggest locations without even any reference to the state government at all. So whilst it could be pastoral lands they're considering, which are owned by the Crown or the people of South Australia, we are locked out by legislation of any role in that process. So that's a bit cheeky, I think.
Yet another project that's being considered is one called coal gasification in Lee Creek. That project, many people consider to be quite risky and also a potential threat to a water table. What's your view of that potential project?
Well, again, let's see. I mean, we have to let the science speak. That's why we have the Environmental Protector, the EPA, which sets pretty rigid guidelines for these things. As far as I understand it, those guidelines haven't yet been thrashed out with the proponents, and they can't get any go-ahead unless they can satisfy the EPA that their process is safe. To date, they haven't done that. And let's see how they go.
Does that also apply to the idea of fracking? Because I noticed that the SA Best and Liberals are saying they're going to put a 10-year ban on fracking in South Australia.
Well, I don't know that's what they're saying. I think they're localising it to a small part of the state.
Or southeast.
Indeed, and I think that was for local political purposes. But again, you know, if you've got a regulatory system across the state, you have to let that work. And we're not talking about unconventional fracking here. We've had fracking in South Australia for the best part of 50 years up in the Cooper Basin with no negative impact on the water table up there. So let's wait and see what the proponents are saying. And as far as I understand it, there are no proposals for fracking in the southeast. Okay. At this stage anyway. Right. It's conventional gas extraction.
And just turning to a completely different topic once again,
sure.
I've been reading a lot and hearing a lot about threatened species and endangered species in Australia at the moment and the rate of extinction, which is quite poor in comparison to other countries. Have you got any policies or proposals in regard to protecting our diversity of animal and plant life?
Well, you may know that we've got, say, a state-based policy called No Species Lost, which is coming to the end of its useful life. Now, that's been in place for the last 10 years or so. What we're doing as an agency and the government is consulting with the community, what sort of plan do we need in place for the next decade or two? And we're taking that out to the community and we're going through it very thoroughly through a formal process of designing collectively together with the community what that next plan will be. But at the end of the day, to protect species, you need to protect habitat. That's pretty basic. Mm-hmm. And the losing species around the country really comes down to, I believe at least, animals, plants, insects, everything, losing its habitat. And you've got to protect the habitat. And in South Australia, we've been pretty successful at doing that. We've got land under protection in South Australia equivalent to the size of the state of Victoria. About 20% of our land mass is protected at some level. We've taken the highest level of protection in South Australia, which is wilderness protection, from about 70,000 hectares when we came into government in 2002 to about 1.8 million hectares now. So that shows you the commitment that we've got to protecting habitat at landscape level.
And just one final one. I've been asked via Greenpeace from Michelle in Port Augusta about the clean-up of the power station there, which is causing some discomfort to residents in Port Augusta. Is there any plans to help them with that?
Well, this is a responsibility of the proponent. In South Australia, we have legislation the Environment Protection Authority administers, which is the polluter pays. And we hold the polluter liable for any damage they've done to the environment. So it's the company's responsibility. They own the land. They're responsible for the pollution on site, and we will make sure that they clean it up to the highest standards possible. We don't want the taxpayer to be responsible for it because they didn't cause the pollution. The company that is responsible for the site owns that liability, and they are the ones responsible for the cleanup, and the EPA will make sure that cleanup is to the highest level possible.